Well, folks, as is obvious to you by now, we're going to discuss the government this evening. And we're going to specifically discuss the topic of civil disobedience and the issue of when is it right to disobey the government. You saw in our skit that people have differences of opinion. Before we specifically address the issue, let's talk about government in a general sense and answer this question. Where did government come from? How did we get it? Well, the Bible is pretty clear in Romans chapter 13, verse 1. This is what it says. Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities. Then it tells us why. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established from God. And so the text is pretty clear. All government is an institution ordained by and established by God. So just as he established the church and just as he established the family, so too the Lord himself has established government. And just as Christians in the Bible are called upon to render the right response to church and to render the right response to family, so too Christian citizens are called upon to render the correct response to government, which leads to this question. What is the correct Christian response to government? Let me, at the risk of simplifying things a little too much, suggest to you three responsibilities that the Christian citizen has towards government. First, we are to pray for it. Secondly, we are to pay taxes to it. And then thirdly, we are to submit to it. Let's discuss the first, praying for the government. This isn't very controversial. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 clearly tells us what to do with reference to the government. It says, first of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority. So firstly, we are instructed to pray for the government. Secondly, we are to pay taxes to it. But what if some of the taxes you and I pay to the government are used for ungodly and immoral purposes? In that case, what is the responsibility of the Christian citizen? Let me give you the answer. It's in Romans 13 again, verses 5 to 7. It says, wherefore it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. That's Paul's teaching. It ought to sound familiar to you. I know it was familiar to Paul because he took it directly from the Lord's teaching. Let me prove it to you. In Mark chapter 12, verses 14 to 17, this is what the Lord has to say about taxes. And they came and said to him, teacher, we know that you are truthful and defer to no one, for you are not partial in any way, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to pay a poll tax to Caesar or not? Shall we pay or shall we not pay? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, why are you testing me? Bring me a denarius to look at. And they brought one, and he said to them, whose likeness and inscription is this? And they said to him, Caesar's. And Jesus said to them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. So that is the clear teaching of the Bible. It was the Lord's teaching. It was Paul's teaching. Now, please remember, when Paul wrote this, he was paying taxes to the Roman emperor, who was Tiberius Caesar, hardly a godly leader. He was quite unrighteous, and undoubtedly some, if not all, of the taxes that he collected were put to ungodly use. But Paul instructs us to pay taxes anyway. Why? It's not the individual Christian citizen's responsibility to determine the use of the taxes. It is our responsibility, according to the text, to simply do this: Render to all what is due them. Now here's the example. Tax to whom tax is due. But some people think it is legitimate to withhold a portion of their taxes from the government. In fact, a person sent a letter to the IRS saying, I did not pay the taxes I should have paid this past year, and I have been, as a result, unable to sleep. Enclosed is $150. If I still have trouble sleeping, I'll send you the rest. Now, folks, we cannot do that. Now, here's what happens if you decide to withhold part of your taxes because you think part of it will go for ungodly purposes. You see, even the portion you send in could be put to ungodly purposes. The only guarantee that your taxes will not be misused would be for you to withhold all of your taxes. But if you withhold all of your taxes from the government, then you are withdrawing from the government its capacity to do that which is good, like support the police, give money to the poor, etc., etc. So then, the scriptures are clear. We are to pray for the government, firstly. Secondly, we are to pay taxes to the government. And thirdly, we are to submit to the government. Romans chapter 13, verse 1, again. Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities. Every person, even Christians. So Christians are supposed to be good citizens. But there's more to good citizenship than simply not committing crimes. In addition, we are to honor and respect those whom God has placed in authority over us. Now, sadly, many Christians are not much different than non-Christians in their attitude towards government. I'll bet you we would be just as likely to find a radar detector in the car of a Christian as in the car of a non-Christian. Something's wrong, folks. That is not subjection to the government. Now, submission to the government certainly includes obedience, but it's much more than obedience. Submission is an attitude that focuses on respect and honor to those put in places of authority. So we are obligated to respect the government because the government is an institution ordained by God. Now, here's the sad thing. It seems to me that Christians are rapidly moving in the same direction of opposing government rather than submitting to government in the same sense that non-Christians are doing it. In other words, we have lost our respect for those in authority, and we've come even to disdain those in public office. So we've come to view government as God's opponent rather than as God's divinely ordained instrument. But Romans chapter 13 clearly told us we're wrong if that's our attitude. Government is God's ordained instrument. So the Christian citizen has a responsibility to submit to the government. But, I know what you're thinking, what if the government passes a law that is contrary to the law of God? Well, folks, the answer is easy. Where there is conflict between obedience to God and obedience to man, I hope you find this to be easy. You must obey God, for his is a higher law. So disobeying the law of the land is always a serious matter, but it is not always wrong to disobey the law. There are simply times when a believer must obey God rather than man. If there is no place in your thinking for civil disobedience, then in effect to you, the government has been put in the place of God, because we only owe unconditional obedience to God and to none other, not even the government. Now, while there are many, many passages of Scripture that command us to be in subjection to the government, within these very passages, each and every one, is also to be recognized a limitation placed on human power. For instance, Romans 13, verse 6, for because of this, you also pay taxes. Now listen, for rulers are servants of God. So that's the built-in clear limitation on the authority of all civil government. The government is a servant of God, and as a result, it is accountable to him, it is under him. Now, it is true that God ordained government, but it is not true that God ordained all evil government policies. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 1, for instance. Woe to those who enact evil statutes and to those who constantly record unjust decisions. Now, folks, if civil disobedience is never permissible, then what we have is idolatry. The government is put in the place of God instead of under God. So then, if there are times when the Christian citizen must disobey the government, what are those times? Well, let me give you a few examples of what I consider to be civil disobedience that I find in the scriptures. And then we'll see if we can extract from these series of examples some patterns from which we can conclude when it is justifiable to disobey the government. So here's the first illustration. Exodus chapter 1, Hebrew midwives ordered by Pharaoh, leader of the government of Egypt, to murder all newborn Jewish male babies. The midwives directly disobey the command of Pharaoh. They refused to do this, though he was the leader of government. And in return, they were later, at the end of the chapter, rewarded, not rebuked, rewarded by God for disobeying Pharaoh. Example number 2, Exodus chapter 5. Pharaoh refused to let the children of Israel go to worship God. They went anyway, as God miraculously intervened on their behalf. Civil disobedience. In Joshua chapter 2, Rahab, remember her? She was a harlot from a place called Jericho. She refused to reveal to the local government authorities the whereabouts of Jewish spies, which she was hiding and who later she showed a way of escape to. And Hebrews chapter 11 reveals to us that this activity brought to Rahab great reward, not rebuke, great reward from God. Another example of civil disobedience. Then there was Daniel chapter 3, in which we read of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refused to worship Nebuchadnezzar's idol. Nebuchadnezzar was the governmental leader. They refused to bow down before an idol he had constructed. And in return, what did God do? He miraculously delivered them. Same book, Daniel chapter 6. Daniel refused to comply with an order requiring him to cease worshiping God in prayer. As a result, he was thrown into the lion's den, and in this case, too, God miraculously delivered him. Matthew chapter 2, the Magi disobeyed King Herod's command that they report to him after completing their visit to the infant Jesus. It was in a dream that God himself told them, do not comply with King Herod's order. That's civil disobedience. Acts chapter 4 and 5, the Sanhedrin, the Jewish governmental authorities, demanded that the apostles cease preaching the gospel. The apostles said no. They disobeyed and they continued to preach. Civil disobedience. And then in Revelation, last book of the Bible, chapter 13, the faithful remnant, which we read about during the tribulation period, refused to submit to the commands of Antichrist, who is then the world's ruler. Now, what do all of these examples with reference to civil disobedience have in common? In my opinion, it is this. In each of the cases I just acquainted you with, people were commanded by the government to do something that would cause them, if they did it, that would cause them to be in violation of God's command. You see? If the midwives obeyed Pharaoh, they would have been murderers. If Daniel obeyed Nebuchadnezzar, he would have been an idol worshiper. So this is the common thread we see in examples of biblical disobedience. The government issues a command which, if you submitted to it, would have the effect of you disobeying God's higher law. So in each of these cases, there was a direct conflict between God's law and man's law. And in such cases, the Christian citizen must always obey God's law. But what about the passages of Scripture that require submission to government? For instance, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. It says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him. Well, folks, it is the institution of government that is to be respected and supported by Christians. But this passage does not say that every policy of the government is to be obeyed. So though the Christian citizen may not be able to obey the government in every instance, true submission to the government is always required. Generally, submission is shown by obedience to authority. But when a Christian citizen in clear conscience cannot obey a human authority, he can still demonstrate a submissive spirit to that authority by avoiding an attitude of insubordination. So that's what's called for in all cases. Not obedience to the government, but submission, respectful submission to the government. One of the ways in which a citizen who is disobeying a law of the government can still show his spirit of submissiveness to the government is to accept without a fight, without an argument, to accept the consequences of disobeying the law. So in the cases that I acquainted you with, Daniel did not object to the consequences. The apostles did not object to the consequences. Some people say civil disobedience shows disrespect for the law. No, not at all. If the one who is civilly disobedient says, I know I am morally correct, but according to the law of the land, I am legally guilty. And because of my respect for the law, I am willing to assume the responsibilities of being legally guilty. I respect the rule of law. So if you are going to violate a law of the land because it forces you to disobey a commandment of God, you must be prepared to experience the consequences. You can't get out of it. This activity distinguishes a legitimate act of civil disobedience from anarchy and insubordination to the government. In every case of civil disobedience in the Bible that I could find, correct me if I'm wrong, and I have a feeling you will, in every case that I could find involving civil disobedience in the Bible, it was the government ordering people to do something that would cause them to disobey God. But we do not have any example in the Bible where civil disobedience is authorized when the government simply passes a law that permits the doing of evil. It is only when the government passes a law that requires you to do evil that civil disobedience is justified. For example, in both Old and New Testaments, unfortunately, the practice of infanticide was common, killing of babies. Old and New Testament was common practice in the ancient world. And yet, at no time did believers in Old or New Testament ever attempt to stop this evil, infanticide, through the application of civil disobedience. You see, the government permitted the evil, but it did not require the evil. There's a difference. Let me bring it home. The contemporary ethical issue of abortion, which plagues our society today. If our government passed a law ordering a believer to have an abortion, I believe civil disobedience is the appropriate course of action. That kind of thing is not far-fetched. It's already happening in China, as you know. Forced abortions. If, on the other hand, the government has merely passed a law permitting abortion, I do not think we can be civilly disobedient. I don't see any example in the Bible where if the government passes a law permitting the doing of evil rather than compelling the doing of evil, we can act in a civilly disobedient way. Why not? Christians are not instructed to use civil disobedience in order to regulate the morals of unsaved people. No, we Christians are instructed instead to share the gospel with those who do not know the Lord. Because until they know the Lord, any discussion about morality is a waste of time. It's when you are regenerated, you know how it is, that you have the mind of Christ, and you realize things like abortion are such a grotesque evil. I don't need a law to tell me that. I know the Word of God tells me to avoid something like abortion. So, we must disobey if a law compels us to sin. If the government said to you, for instance, it is now illegal for you to discipline your children by spanking them. But I read in the Bible It is an act of love to spank children and an act of hatred towards children to avoid the rod. What are you going to do? Civil disobedience. If the government said from this day forward, you cannot preach Jesus, you cannot pray, you cannot read the Bible, and this thing called creation that you Christians believe can no longer be taught in your churches, what are you going to do? I hope you will be respectfully, civilly disobedient. You cannot submit to a law of the land that, in the submission to the law of the land, causes you to disobey a biblical directive. So then, can you trespass at an abortion clinic? Let me offer you my answer. No. You cannot trespass at an abortion clinic. Why not? Nowhere in the Bible is there any example of believers breaking good and legitimate laws in order to prevent others from choosing to do the wrongs permitted by the government. Can't do it. We're not allowed to do that kind of thing. You can protest, but you cannot disobey a bona fide law. So, folks, civil disobedience is absolutely contrary to the Bible, except when disobedience to man's law is necessary in order to obey God's law. In other words, obedience to a man-made law must cause you to sin in order for you to claim the phrase, I must obey God rather than man. Can you see it? So, for instance, obeying Pharaoh would have made the midwives murderers. Obeying Nebuchadnezzar would have made Daniel and his friends idolaters. Obeying the Sanhedrin would have made the apostles disobedient to God's great commission. In that case, when there's a clear conflict between human and divine law, you must disobey human law. But you cannot disobey a human law simply because you don't like it. Can't do it. A person, for instance, may not like a particular traffic law, but obedience to such a law does not cause one to sin. Therefore, you must submit to it. The same is true with helmet laws. The same is true with building code laws. The same is true with IRS regulations. Nobody in their right mind likes any of that stuff. Too bad. There's no biblical basis for noncompliance with laws simply because they inconvenience you. Only if the law requires you to break one of God's laws can you be civilly disobedient. So you can't disobey a law just because you think it is unjust or unfair. For instance, a fisherman, we have a few here, may feel it is unfair for the law to limit his daily catch of a certain kind of fish. Know what I mean? But no matter how unfair you think it is, this is not legitimate grounds for civil disobedience. Because you can only disobey the law if the law requires you to violate God's higher law. That's the way it works. Now, folks, this is something you got to be real careful about. I'll tell you why. Every person here has something in common. It's called a rebellious spirit. We're born with it. It's part of our sin nature. Because of our rebellious spirit, every person here leans to, matter-of-factly, instinctively, inherently, naturally, we lean to rebelling against the law. We want to break the law. It's what we're made of. As a result, a good check on our carnal rebellious desires is to ask yourself this question: does breaking this law, is breaking this law biblically required? If breaking the law is biblically required, break it. If breaking the law is not biblically required, it's just an inconvenience, you must submit to it. So civil disobedience should be resorted to only after all else has failed. And in a free society such as ours, there are many alternative ways to address unjust and immoral laws. It's only when other avenues of action have been exhausted is civil disobedience ever justified. Now, once it is decided that civil disobedience is required, what kind of civil disobedience is legitimate? For instance, can you overthrow the government? Can you assassinate the leader of government? Can you use violence? Can you revolt violently, or must you simply refuse nonviolently? Let me give you the answer. You must refuse nonviolently. You are not permitted to revolt violently. The biblical pattern is to refuse, not to revolt. Why? Well, because God gave the government authority to rule. He did not give the individual citizen authority to revolt. You cannot put yourself in the place of government. But some people will say, wait a second, Stuart, you taught us one time that some wars are just. So if some wars are just, why aren't some revolutions just? I'll tell you why. Wars are fought by governments. Revolutions are fought by individual citizens. There's a huge difference. And God never gave the power of the sword to individual citizens to use against the government. He gave the power of the sword to the government to use against rebellious citizens. You cannot put yourself in the place of government. Now, folks, I realize I'm on pretty shaky ground by what I just said. I'll tell you why. How did we as Americans get here? We got here when our forebears chose to revolt against the duly appointed government of England. That's how we got here. In fact, our own Declaration of Independence says this: governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government. Based on the Declaration of Independence, there was the American Revolution, and that's how we got here. So the American Revolution took place, but was it biblical? Now, I am inviting voluminous emails at this point, but I must say this. I do not believe the American Revolution was biblical. No. So what do we do then on the 4th of July? I don't believe we can celebrate the way our country began. I think we can celebrate the fact that our country began. Huge difference. Boy, it's quiet in here all of a sudden. Let me tell you what I mean. We cannot celebrate that a baby was born of rape or adultery, can we? But we can celebrate the fact that the baby was born. So too with the United States of America. I do not think we can celebrate the fact that our forebears revolted against a duly appointed, duly established government, because there's no basis for revolution in the Bible. The power of the sword is not given to the individual citizen. It's only given to the government. But we can still fire off our firecrackers and eat apple pie and have parades and all that kind of stuff on 4th of July, because thank God, in spite of the fact that, in my opinion, the revolution was unbiblical, we still got here, and it's the greatest country the world has ever seen, in my opinion. So, if you are able and you are living under an oppressive government, you cannot fight against it, but you can flee it. Israel did that. Israel did not seek to overrun Egypt. Israel fled from Egypt. You see, there's no, I dare you to show me, one biblically authorized episode of civil disobedience involving violent revolution or revolt against the government. I challenge you to show me one. So in conclusion, and boy, it's not coming soon enough. If it's always right to disobey the government, we have anarchy. But if it is never right to disobey the government, we have something just as bad. We have idolatry. You see? And so what we need is balance, a balanced approach to the issue. The government, you see, is neither to be resented nor is it to be worshipped. It is a minister of God, and as such, the Christian citizen must submit to its laws in all cases, except when doing so requires disobedience to God's higher law. So, my fellow Christians, let me just tell you this. It seems to me you and I got to make sure that in all things, including our civic responsibilities, we prove to be the absolutely best citizens the country has ever seen. Always, always remembering we represent not a political party. No, no, no. We represent the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his best for us. Let's pray. Well, our Father, we thank you for the institution of church and family, and yes, even of government. You have this enormous capacity, even in the case of the tyrant, Lord Jesus, to tear the tyrant down. You haven't given us that authorization. So if you allow someone, a tyrannical person, to be in a position of authority, we could beseech you to remove that person. History has shown us that you're capable of doing that very thing. Lord Jesus, perish the thought that we would take up the sword, the one that you entrust to the government and only the government. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for instructing us about government. There simply are times when Christians, even in an oppressive situation, simply have to patiently wait on intervention from on high. Lord Jesus, we want to be about the business of proving ourselves to be submissive citizens. That doesn't mean we obey blindly everything the government requires of us, but it's an attitude not of insubordination, always of respect, because you ordained the government. Lord Jesus, let there be no capacity of a charge being brought against us. And yet, if we choose to be civilly disobedient after much counsel and after exhausting all other alternatives, put it within us, Lord Jesus, to be willing to accept the legal consequences of violating the law of the land. And in so doing, we show our respect for the law. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you want us to be like you, holy and exemplary in all areas of life. Perhaps I've spoken out of line tonight. Undoubtedly, there's difference of opinion. At least we've broached the subject. Give us wisdom as individual Christian citizens in knowing how to respond to the government. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.